Free FM.
Here you can be free.
Penn Jillette.
This is Penn Jillette. Get yourselves comfortable because we'll be on in about 1 hour. 1 hour from now, we'll be coming on. This is Penn Jillette. Because this is not the time the goddamn show starts. The show starts an hour from now. I hate daylight savings time. Daylight savings time is a microcosm. It is a little symbolic stone in my shoe for all the kinds of social engineering the government does. The government doesn't think we can make our own decisions about when we want to go to work. Of course, we can't. But when we want to go to work, when we want to come back, they don't think we. So they have to social engineer. And also, the data they're using to decide on daylight savings time is like from the 70s. And the other thing is they blame the farmers. The government blames the farmers. I'm here with Michael Goudeau, and I'm sick of the farmers taking the rap for this. You ask a random person on the street, why do we have daylight savings time? I said that like, why do we? Also, I'm Seinfeld. Why do we have daylight savings time? And they will say, because the farmers need to have more time to milk the cows or something. They'll make some fakakta. I'm so upset about this. I'm from Massachusetts, and I'm speaking Yiddish.
That's upset.
That's how, when a Massachusetts man says fakakta, that's how upset you are. Daylight savings time really gets me mad. It's the same thing, you know, they do this whole thing where they don't let gas prices be what they really are. You know, they subsidize gas prices. They do all this stuff. They subsidize oil. And then they try to socially engineer so we use less. Why not just, this is the libertarian nut Penn Jillette talking, why don't they just let things be the price they're supposed to be, right? And then let us decide how we want to do it. I will go further. I'm talking to Michael Goudeau here. I want to go further and say, I don't think there should be time zones. I am totally against time zones. Newfoundland, you know, is a half hour off from the rest of the world, as is like there's some South American country, which I don't know. And if you know the South American country that's 15 minutes off from the rest of the world, 866-313-FREE. 3733 free, 866-313-FREE, or penradio@gmail.com. PENN radio@gmail.com. PENNradio.com. And tell me what country it is that's 15 minutes off from the rest of the world. We should all be on. I mean,
you think Greenwich Mean Time? You think Greenwich?
No, I don't think Greenwich Mean Time is the end all and the be all. But I don't see why there can't be a world time that we all agree on. Aren't you able to say, I think that the, you know, sunrise tomorrow is 4 o'clock in the evening? Couldn't you figure that out and just go, oh, that's with my rest of my day? And you just decide based, I mean, time is something we're all supposed to agree on, not just the United States. Why is the United States saying, oh, we're going to change, except for Arizona? Plucky little Arizona refuses to go down the road of the
Hawaii. Also Hawaii.
Hawaii. Plucky little Hawaii. You got to say plucky in front of it.
Okay. Plucky Hawaii.
Plucky little Hawaii.
Plucky little Hawaii.
And plucky little Arizona.
Thank you for the lesson.
Now, a lot of people think that I'm upset about daylight savings time because I have so many clocks. I am just lousy with clocks in the slammer. I don't know, Dustin, Jeff, whoever's listening now, just try to run around now and count the number of clocks. Count the microwaves, because I'm a two-microwave man. Count the ovens, because I'm a two-oven man. There's a huge clock up in the slammer. There's like a four-foot diameter clock that I have that says, you know, the slammer. It's all neon. It's really nice in my house. That's got to be changed.
Someone's got to get a ladder out to
change it. No, you don't have to get a ladder, but you do have to. It doesn't. You can't advance it or stop it. You have to stop it dead and then wait till the right time and hit the button again. That's a pain.
Someone's going to sit out there for 25 hours?
Mm-hmm. Well, 23.
Yeah, okay.
Okay, so that's all. Math matters, man. Don't look at me like, oh, you're going to bust me for 2 hours? Yes, I'm going to bust you for 2 hours.
Then they have to sit out there for another 22 to get it right again.
So I don't know, this whole daylight savings jive, it makes me crazy, as you can see. And time zones, I don't
actually,
know.
Actually, it's 11. It's just a regular clock, right?
What's that?
It's just 11 hours. It's a regular clock.
It's a regular clock. It's not a 24-hour clock. So you're right.
I'll just shut up.
Plucky little Arizona. Don't ever. And now they're going to make daylight savings time. Next year will be longer.
Yeah, 4 weeks longer.
It'll be 4 weeks longer of daylight savings time. And on top of all that, it means that this morning, we all got less sleep. You know? We really did.
I know.
You don't change,
I'm well aware of that.
You don't change your biological clock because the government tells you to. And this is the problem. The government thinks that it's its job to socially engineer what people do. Get them to stop smoking. Get them to have their lights on less at night. Get them to drive their cars slower. That is not the government's job. It is supposed to be courts, defense, police. That's the end of it. That's too much for me. You know? This libertarian thing, I was much too much of a pig with a libertarian thing. I'm probably going over to anarcho-capitalist. But I'll work with the libertarians until we get there, and then we'll go out. And this whole thing that the general welfare clause in the Constitution, I'm not buying it. Welfare does not mean you change time. The government is not in charge of time. Time exists so that everything doesn't happen at once. That's the reason time exists. There's no daylight savings time. That hour doesn't skip ahead. I want to talk about daylight savings time. Also, another thing that my wife brought up. Last night we were TiVoing, had TiVoed. An episode of Law and Order. And we love watching Law and Order because you don't find out about the people, you know? I don't like TV shows that they tell you the plot, then you go back to the people's house. I don't want to go to their house. They're working. They're actors. I want to see Jerry Orbach when he is working on the set. I don't want to go back to his house and find out about his daughter. I don't want to know what he's having fights with his ex-wife.
He's a tap dancer.
Is he?
He was.
Oh, yeah. Cool. I like to know that. I like procedural TV shows that tell me nothing about people. Yes, I know. I know Jerry Orbach is dead. And are you telling me, Happy Jack, that it wouldn't be more fun to see him tap dance dead? Wouldn't you love to see a person tap dance dead? Yes, that is entertainment. We've tried to watch a little bit like NYPD Blue because we're current. We're current, right up with all the new shows that the kids love. And I couldn't stand it. You have to go home and see their ass. You know, they take their, you know, they show your ass in the shower. Why do I want to see a cop take a shower? But it came up on Law and Order last night that
I believe seeing a cop take a shower has been your position in every other show.
But I want to
see.
You've
been pro. Cop taking a shower up until today. Yeah. I think it's the hour earlier. Well, I think you're a little grumpy.
I think it was the Guess Who that said, seasons changed and so did I.
Okay.
Today, I no longer want to see a cop take a shower. It's part of, that is actually, if we were in the Jewish faith, that's part of the bar mitzvah. Today I am a man, today I no longer want to see a cop take a shower. But I want to say, they said something about, you've been lying to a cop. Now, isn't lying to a cop legal? I mean, isn't that part of... Oh, I just got this letter. I'm asking about, can you lie to a cop? It seems like First Amendment rights say you can lie to a cop. Cop pulls you over, says, how fast do you think you're going? You go, oh, by the way, you know, I'm the one who invented the internet. And he goes, no, do you know how fast you were going? It was me. I invented the internet. And he goes, listen, I don't care about that. You should be able to say, you know something? I have breasts. You should be able to say anything you want to a cop. So Bob Korn Revere wrote, I wrote him an email because I plan out this show perfectly. I know every word I'm going to say as I go. So I knew I was going to talk about lying to cops. So I dropped a note to Bob Korn Revere, our resident First Amendment attorney here at Free FM. Not for Free FM. I'm not going to talk about him. He has no official position whatsoever. Bob Korn Revere is my buddy. We go to strip clubs together. We have a good time, and he is my personal advisor on First Amendment issues. Personal advisor. He has no allegiance whatsoever to me. I don't pay him. That's
you
what I'm trying
stock.
To say. I bought him a lap dance once.
Okay.
It's like pulling a thorn out of his butt. Full disclosure. I'm going to read this. I haven't read it yet, so maybe right in the beginning.
I hope he doesn't swear.
You know, when he's a First Amendment attorney, you got to watch out. They don't say anything that pops in the head. There are certain laws that relate to this, like the federal law that Scooter Libby is being tried under, prohibiting supplying the feds with false information during an investigation. I suppose for more general purposes, a person might be charged with obstruction of justice for lying. It really depends on the circumstances. But the Supreme Court has upheld the right to shout obscenities at cops. Yes! I understand it's an entirely different thing, but yes, that's a good thing. You can, people, please. Bob says it's okay. Go out and yell obscenities at cops.
Can't lie to him.
A favorite line for me comes from a case called Hudson v. Hill. It struck down a local ordinance making it illegal to interrupt a cop in the performance of his duties. Justice Brennan wrote, quote, "The freedom of individuals verbally to oppose or challenge police action without thereby risking arrest is one of the principal characteristics by which we distinguish a free nation from a police state." Nice stuff. But I know this doesn't answer your question, and neither does this. I suppose whether or not a lie is illegal would depend on the context in which a person is interacting with the cops. So, Bob, you know, being a First Amendment attorney, can't really answer this question. I think I can. I think I can. I have more of a legal background.
If you're
than
dating
Bob is.
A cop, it's okay to lie.
If you're dating a cop, certainly if you're dating a cop. I think if he's asking you direct questions about an investigation, then that could be obstruction of justice. But if you just want to say random stuff to a cop that's not true, I think you should be allowed to. I think when the cop pulls you over and goes, "Hey, you know how fast you were going?" You can go, "You know something? The speed of light is like 30 miles an hour." And he goes, "No, it's 186,000 miles per second, you fool." And you go, "No, it isn't." "Yes, it is." "No, it isn't." "Yes, it is." You can do that to a cop.
Okay. So
you can go, "You know, Chinese people, their noses have cream cheese inside." You can say that. No one's going to stop you from saying that. You know, "Officer, I can eat a bowling ball." "I can." "Do you know how fast you were going?" But there's that great joke. Well, never mind. It's a long joke. I won't even go into it. But tonight is the fourth season premiere of Bulls Hit. There was just a ruling that the FCC said that any form of the, what we call the S word, any form of that is automatically taboo. Boom. No context, no nothing. You can't say it. So saying the name of our show together instead of Bulls Hit would be FCC instant fine for free FM. So we won't say that. But tonight is the debut. If you happen to have Showtime, if you already paid for it, don't bother getting it just to see our show. But if you've already got Showtime and you're waiting to see, you know, what they'll have on.
It's party night.
It's party night, sure.
Our show if you're night, in Cambodia or Kathmandu, it'll start at an odd time.
Is it, where is it?
Cambodia and Kathmandu are the letters we have coming in.
Are 15 minutes
15
off?
15 minutes off, yes.
Cambodia and Kathmandu. You know, I have a friend, Teddy V, who's in Chicago. Teddy V is one of the weirdest guys ever in the way he talks. Beautiful speaker. He's a poet, and he talks this combination of like a rug salesman, jailhouse, rap, hip-hop, and he goes to Kathmandu on business. How legal can that be? How legal can what you're doing in Kathmandu be? And he is so cool. How cool do you have to be? Now, you are dying to say the word Kathmandu, aren't you?
Yes.
Whenever you get a chance to say Kathmandu, you jump at him. Woo! I get to say Kathmandu. He is so cool that Kathmandu is not cool to say. He says Kdu. I was over in Kdu, man.
He's always in a hurry.
Yeah.
He's trying to save that
time. No time for at man. Kdu. He just says Kdu. I was over in Kdu, man. It's just a great thing. So tonight in Kathmandu in Cambodia, it'll start at an odd time. But tonight on Showtime, Penn and Teller's Bulls Hit will be on. And it's the Boy Scouts show. So I'm not going to talk about the Boy Scouts. But tomorrow, if you've watched the Showtime show, the Penn and Teller show, we'll take calls tomorrow like crazy monkeys will be taking calls about the season premiere about the Boy Scouts. And Margaret Downey Jr., we had her on Friday, Margaret Downey Jr., crazy broad. She wrote to me and said, get this, this is how much control she wants me to have over the world. She was upset because, get this, Goodell, you don't know this yet, so you can pay attention to this. She was upset because the unofficial Penn Jillette fan site, which is to mean it's unofficial, unauthorized. I have no say over it. I'm not even going to give what the name of it is. The Penn Jillette fan site had a Google ad that was in favor of the Boy Scouts. And that should not be there because the show is against the Boy Scouts. So Margaret Downey Jr. says, okay, Penn, take over your unauthorized website, then buy Google outright and stop them from putting pro-Boy Scout. Margaret Downey Jr., would you understand this? Google goes through, a computer goes through, people don't read it, and they look at the websites that they have control over, and they look at them, and there's words that pop up, and then the Boy Scouts pay money. So what you want to do, Margaret Downey Jr., if you want to bring the Boy Scouts to its knees, whenever you see one of those ads, click on it over and over again. Everybody you know clicks on it, and that costs the Boy Scouts money. Of course, since the Boy Scouts are getting government money, that costs you and me money, but don't think that far, Margaret. Just feel good about yourself. If you happen to be looking at a Penn and Teller website about our show tonight, and we mention Boy Scouts, and over on the side it says, these ads brought to you by Google, don't blame us, okay? We've got nothing to do with how Google... I mean, when I write anti-psychic stuff, psychic stuff pops up on the side, you know?
Yes, it does.
Oh, the other thing is, Adam Carolla, the good friend of the show, Adam Carolla, called me up yesterday. Now, when I say Adam Carolla called me up, I don't mean Adam Carolla called me up. We don't talk to each other. We don't like each other. His assistant called my assistant yesterday and said that he's having a psychic on the show today, and he wanted me to call in and talk to her. The psychic, but I didn't know it's because her name is Cher or Char or something.
Char
or something, you know. And he wanted me to call in, and I said no because I'm preparing. You know, maybe I'm not doing any work, but I'm preparing mentally for our show at that time. And my first allegiance is, of course, to you listeners. So I said no. And also, I don't know any more about this particular psychic. If it was going to be like Uri Geller or Kreskin, one of the people I know something about, I would have considered doing that. But this is just one. And Adam Carolla is a skeptic. Adam Carolla is an atheist. He can handle all this himself. He doesn't need me to get up early in the morning. A friend of mine called Bull's hit. She referred to it as skeptical porn. Skeptic porn. She called it skeptic porn. And that was kind of her insult to me because Dean Cameron, Dino Cameron, finest actor who ever lived, good friend of mine, he refers to West Wing as liberal porn because you watch it and go, oh, this is the way the world should be. You watch regular porn and go, oh, this is the way the world should be. I should be, you know, being having sex with hundreds of women. And then when you watch liberal porn, you go, oh, there's a liberal president and, oh, everybody's liberal. And I think that that Bull's hit is really is skeptic porn because we don't really make it's a half hour show and there's jokes in it, so it is not real skeptical research. It's kind of cheerleading for the skeptical movement, so it is kind of like you sit there and go, oh yeah, we're all skeptical, woohoo. Maybe we'll do one.
Slap
next
that PETA.
Maybe next year we should do Daylight Savings Time. If we did Daylight Savings Time on Bull's hit, my whole life would come together. 866-313-FREE 3733. You can call in about Daylight Savings Time. You can call in about what else did I have that I want to talk about?
Lying to cops.
Lying to cops is a good one. Call in about either one of those. I'm also going to, after the break, I'll be talking about Slither, which I saw over the weekend. I saw a movie. Did not cry. We'll find out how many clocks I have at the Slammer, all after this. That's Neil. That's Neil playing the trombone on that. I can't remember Neil's last name. But I was a little bit. That's the Mike Jones Big Mighty Band playing there. I'm playing bass on that one. And I had something I was going to say. Oh, I saw Slither over the weekend.
Yeah.
And Slither is a very good movie. If you like monster movies that are funny and gross, it's a great movie. And the nice thing about it is there's so much obscenity in it that I can't quote any of it. But there were lines that had me screaming, laughing. And the big important thing is I did not cry at the movie at all. I did not cry one bit. So that's good. I want to read one news item that I think is interesting. Canada. Did you hear that Canada is afraid that pending legislation will ban it from transporting its garbage to the United States, which it has been doing for years? In other news, Celine Dion will celebrate her 500th show in Las Vegas this May. Those are both true news stories. It just happens when you read them together, they have more truth to them. Why don't we play Godot Roulette and take a phone call from anybody you want.
I think we should talk to Mike on line 5.
Hey, Mike, what's up?
We're working.
Mike?
Hello?
You there, Mike?
Hello?
Hey. Hey, it's Joe. It's Joe.
All right.
How you doing,
and?
Joe? Yes.
How you doing?
Doing very well.
About
thanks.
Lying to cops?
Yeah.
You are not allowed to lie according to the First Amendment. It's not covered. That's why you see a lot of celebrities sue for defamation and libel because someone's telling lies about them. So
but
based on that, you're not. But where it gets confusing is what's a lie.
Aren't there other definitions of libel and slander, like it has to be in some way damaging? I'm talking about lying to a cop just sitting in the seat of your car. Isn't that a different thing?
Right. Well, the thing is, what's a lie? If you say something that's an opinion, that's not a lie. So you said before, you know,
Sure.
Opinion's not covered, and if it's something that nobody would believe as a lie, like you said, green Martians just landed, nobody would believe that as a lie,
well,
so it's not believable to a certain
Wilkes.
Levels.
Right,
if he said, where are you going, 65, and you said, no, I was going 25, and you're lying, not covered by the First Amendment.
Right, but I'm not talking about that kind of lie. I'm talking about, you know, they always say, and I get all my factual information from Law and Order, they always say, you know, you lied to us. Now, that's not illegal in itself. It's just pissing off the cop, and that's going to come down and bite you in the ass later, right?
Like the lawyer said, there are state laws like those obstruction things. That's where they get you on that. But if we're talking strict lying, lying's not covered.
Meaning
you have freedom of speech, but you're not allowed to lie.
But you're not allowed to lie. Okay. Thank you. Thanks.
No problem.
Thanks.
I think we should go straight to line 10 because we have a guy who claims he's lied to the cops.
Let's take that call. Yeah.
Paul on line 10.
Hey, Paul. No, hey, Paul, you there, Paul?
No chance.
Oh, I so want Paul to answer the phone. Paul! Please, Paul! Oh, for the love of all that's good. Oh, man.
He was probably arrested. Oh, well, that happens. I guess there's no chance Paul's actually going to show up.
I guess not. It was nice waiting for him. Not getting a lot of calls in daylight savings time. I guess that shows you the one I'm more passionate about is the one that people care less about. Got a great, great Gmail here about kiddie porn. The North Smithfield girls. On Friday, I talked about these 16-year-old girls that were being busted for child pornography for taking pictures of each other. And the guy, this is a guy named Andrew who wrote. He's from the U.K., he said, I thought it was a very interesting news item you talked about those girls charged with child porn. In my mind, child pornography laws should be there to prevent the exploitation of the children involved. So how can these girls be charged with exploiting themselves? I don't really know whether charging them with anything, although they were particularly stupid to post explicit pictures of themselves in a public way, was the right thing. But if it is, does that blur the line on what is legal? Then I have to change the wording on this because we're not allowed to say certain things on the air. Isn't it similar in principle to saying if one of the girls had been caught touching herself, she should be charged with child molestation? I think that's a good point. I just think that when it's your body that you're making decisions about, you have to have some leeway on that. So, boy, I wanted that guy who lied to the cops to
he dropped off apparently
to come in. Audrey, who runs our runs the Penn and Teller fan site, not the illegal one. She runs Penn-Teller.com, if that's what it's called. Or maybe it's PennTeller.com. Maybe it's PennAndTeller.com. But if you search for Penn and Teller, it'll pop up. She runs. She really looks over that one, and she just says that the unofficial Penn site is not good. They put up things that aren't real quotes and stuff like that. So there you go.
Doesn't it is really PennAndTeller.com, by the way. We also got Gmail showing us that FARC.com has the 100 unsexiest men in the world.
Unsexiest men in the world.
Unsexiest.
And who is? What are you asking?
You point at me? It's not me.
Well,
no.
You're pointing at me? That's unkind.
It's hard to tell
That's
on TV.
Unkind. One of the unsexiest men in the world? Let me just give you a little hint. Number 8 is Osama bin Laden. Okay? There are 7 people less sexy than Osama bin Laden. Who's number 7?
Who is number 7? Mike Mills, bassist from R.E.M.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Good choice. And who is number 6?
Chad Kroeger.
Who's that?
Nickelback.
Okay. Number 5?
Dr. Phil. Oh, no, wait. Number five is gone for some reason. It's okay. Missing. Number four is Dr. Phil.
Number four is Dr. Phil.
Number three, Roger.
Now, how many people right now already know who number one is? I'll give you some hints. A friend of the show, one of my dear, deep, close friends who I love, and I'm very good friends as well with his girlfriend. That's the hint. Think about it now. See, if you play the game at home, you should have it. Who's number three?
Roger Ebert.
Roger Ebert. A good choice. If I had to choose between sleeping with Osama bin Laden and Roger Ebert, I would certainly choose Osama bin Laden first. Number two?
Randy Johnson.
Who's Randy Johnson?
Pitcher for New York now.
Yep. And number one, we've all guessed, haven't we? Y'all ready? The least sexy man in the world, according to FARC. Who is it? Gilbert Gottfried! Is there anyone that missed that? Did anybody miss that? You know, Michael Godot, I had hippies at my house over the weekend.
What was that about? How did that happen?
Oh, he's holding up a sign. Happy Jack's holding a sign. Am I anywhere on the list?
You know, it only goes to 25 right here. I'm trying to find out. At 27. I'm looking for your name. 26 is Tim Burton, though. Paul Schaefer's 25.
Yeah, okay.
I'll keep working.
I had hippies at my house. You know, my wife, Easy, used to be a serious hippie, like a no-kidding-around hippie. She lived in a van with a solar shower, and she followed the Grateful Dead around and lived in state parks and stuff. She was a real hippie. Now, I've always had long hair, but I'd never really been a hippie, okay? Sometimes libertarian atheist nuts can look like hippies, but they aren't. And she was a big fan of this folk singer named David Wilcox, who has a cult following, and they became friends. So David Wilcox, his wife, and his son came to our house on Saturday and pulled up with their trailer and parked their trailer. Now, we have like four guest rooms in my house, but they parked their trailer in our yard and lived there. And like yesterday, Godot, this is going to blow your mind. Yesterday, he is sitting on the couch of the Slammer in my home playing acoustic guitar with a capo and an alternate tuning. It's not even tuned. It's an alternate tuning with a capo. And he's a good guitar player, but he had to use alternate fingering because he'd broken a nail on one of his fingers. That's right. Does not even play with a pick. Binga, 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 binga. Singing songs about stuff. And I'll tell you something further. And this maybe will let people see Penn as a kinder and gentler man. His son is great. His son is like 13 years old and just the hippest, greatest kid, you know. So I'm talking to him. But here's the part that's amazing. I believe they are Shakers. Yeah. That gobsmacked you, didn't it? They are very religious, and I believe the religion they have chosen is Shaker. I'm not sure of that, because I think that that may not be a religion. It may just be a form of furniture. But they are, I think, Shakers. They are very, very religious. So I was wearing my, you know, Jesus crust pizza T-shirt, and the kid was wearing his, you know, real Jesus T-shirt, and we're sitting side by side, and he's playing guitar at my home. And for those of you who think I am incredibly intolerant of religion, but I am incredibly tolerant for all people. So yes, staying in my house in an Airstream trailer, I had hippies, religious Christian hippies at my home. And I broke bread with them. I had dinner with them. We had a great time. And it wasn't like we avoided the subject. I said that every time there was daylight savings time coming up, I always tried to do it backwards in our show. I always tried to say in spring, I always tried to say, don't forget to turn your clocks back 1 hour tonight. I tried to say that in the show. And my thinking on that is then it screws up the religious people by 2 hours and they're more apt to miss church. So we would make jokes like that. He would talk about being spiritual, and I would talk about not being spiritual, and yet they were in my house, hippies, hippie Christians. And he's a fine guitar player, and my wife is still a little embarrassed. You know, sometimes I'll put on one of the CDs she listens to all the time, and she'll go, well yeah, that was then. But isn't it great that that I have a wife who's embarrassed about she used to be, you know, used to be a hippie and used to listen to a guy who believes in God.
Did they bring a dog? Is that what your wife just sent me emails that they had a dog? There was a dog at your house as well?
Yes, there was a dog. There was a cute little dog. Not in the house. The dog did not come in the house. The dog stayed in the trailer. I kept going out rolling up the windows. But the dog stayed in the trailer. So, yes.
Portuguese water dog?
A Portuguese water dog is what they called it. I actually thought that was maybe a euphemism that his wife had for something. I didn't touch the dog. I didn't even touch the dog. There's so much more to talk about. We haven't even scratched the surface of Line to Come.
Line 5
or
is
Daylight
back.
Savings Time.
He's
or,
back.
Or letting hippies stay at your house. Ben Jillette, you know I'm very fond of all of you. We'll be right back. You like the new music? Look it up?
Yeah.
Jonesy went through like all these sessions we did here and picked out different chunks with Patrick. Chunks is my dog, and he pulled out different ones, and we have a lot of different music. And also tomorrow he's bringing in a guitar player who's going to lay down some stuff too. A little piece of information that you might not have seen other places. I try to, you know, they don't want to just read the news. You know, some radio stations, they just read the news. But this is something you might not have noticed. Borders Books and Music, one of the country's largest bookstore chains, had refused to stock the latest edition of Free Inquiry magazine because the issue includes controversial cartoons that spurred violent and sometimes deadly protests in parts of Europe, the Middle East, Africa, and South Asia. A Borders spokeswoman said the company declined to sell the Amherst-based, that's Amherst on New York, because I'm reading from a Buffalo paper, Amherst-based publication this month out of concern for the safety of employees and customers. These are the cartoons in the Danish newspaper and the Muslim Democracy. Now, this is a story from last week, but a friend of mine sent it. And if you send to Borders and complain that they weren't stocking Free Inquiry, then they will tell you it's all about safety. And sadly, they have a good case there. I think that Borders has to be careful about safety, but sometimes you have to fight for your right to party. We're talking Daylight Savings Time, and we're talking lying to cops. Tonight is the premiere of the fourth season of Penn and Teller Bulls Hit. And we'll be talking about Boy Scouts tonight. So tomorrow on the show, you can call 866-313-FREE 3733. PennRadio@gmail.com. PennRadio.com. And we will talk about that. And speaking of the telephone, you got any calls?
We do have a good one. We have a Matt on line 8.
I don't even know what this is. Hello, Matt. How you doing, man?
Ben, big fan of yours, man. I got to drop you something real quick before my boss catches me.
Okay, go. quick.
What if, just for giggles and everything, you're the designated driver and everybody's drinking, you decide to spray yourself with Jack Daniels and pass the sobriety test while slurring your words? I got to go.
Okay,
onto
thanks,
that,
thank
and
you.
I'm listening to you, man. Keep it up.
Thanks
man.
So much, man. Thank you so much. You know, that is, I used to do that, you know, whenever they would have in my high school. I never did, for those of you who don't know the backstory, I never did any drug in my life. I'm the one guy who never had a puff of marijuana. You're also like that. Do you have a puff?
I've never had marijuana, no.
Yeah, never a puff of marijuana. And I never had a sip of alcohol, you know. And every time they would send out memos to the teachers about these are the kind of behaviors to watch for on kids in high school, like they for a while said that kids were using discarded toothpaste tubes. I think this was a false urban myth that my high school wasn't even urban. It was a rural myth because I'm from a one-cow town. And that's not even an expression. It's one-horse town, isn't it? But we didn't even know the difference between horses and cows. That's how small our town was. And they said something about they were using toothpaste tubes cut up to in some way for drug paraphernalia. So I went to school that day with my pockets full of toothpaste tubes and got brought in. And when they would open up our lockers to be searched by – to be checked out by the police – because remember, I graduated from high school in 1973. And 1973 in rural America was, I believe, the apex of drug use. I mean, we had kids. There were kids in my class shooting heroin. I don't think that I was ever in a class where fewer than a third of the students were in some way high or drunk. Everybody, and I mean everybody. If you went home and said to your parents, man, Mom, everybody's smoking dope. You would not be lying. Unless you said, you know, everybody except Penn Jillette is smoking dope. And I had the longest hair in my class, you know. And the teachers were smoking dope. Because we were from, we were really near the University of Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
So they would send up student teachers, you know. And I remember one history teacher saying he was too stoned to teach the class, and could I just run kids through some homework? I mean, that's the kind of stuff that happened, you know. And that's where I started really disliking hippies, you know. And but I had hair down my back, and I wore eye makeup, and still didn't make the 100 list of least sexy people. Yes, I wore eye makeup. Now, all of a sudden, Happy Jack's looking at me differently, like, hey there.
That's right. You just jumped up.
Yeah, he got real.
You were 101.
Yeah, he got, yeah. I was 100. I moved down. I moved. I'm way off the 100 list now, Tim. And I was, you know, very, very eccentric and hippie looking. And I remember making them get a court order to open my locker. I would not let them open my locker during a routine search, so they sealed it so that I couldn't get to it. And then I fought it all the way and stood in the way and made the cops move and everything else, and they opened it up, and I had never opened my locker once that whole year. I didn't even know the combination. They opened a completely empty locker. And I would do stuff like that all the time. So the idea we had from our friend, what was his name again? Who just called in?
Matt.
Matt. Our friend Matt, who just said, you know, be the designated driver and cover yourself with Jack Daniels, slur your words, and then pass every sobriety test right. possible.
Do the knife.
By the way, as I don't think anyone is more against drunk driving than I am. I'm really against drinking. One of the questions I like to ask cops is if they've ever arrested a sober person. Because when I was, that's another long story I'll tell you all about some other time. But when I was busted at the Riv Hotel here, yeah. and I was cuffed and taken to the back room.
I was there.
Yeah, you were there.
I was there.
It was. I'll tell you the whole story sometime. It has to do with me getting getting beat up by gay men. That really is the story.
I don't know why you're laughing so hard. That's the story.
Well, it just sometimes I describe parts of my life to people and it blows my mind. Like I look at myself and go, no, a person doesn't live like that. So they cuffed me and they took me into this room at the hotel. And it was 4 a.m. And I said to the officers, I said, have you ever had anybody sober and polite in this room? Have you noticed I'm saying yes, sir, and no, sir? My words aren't slurred, and I'm being very, very reasonable. Has that ever happened in the history of your job? And they said, well, no, you're the most polite person we've ever had in this room. And they're taking mug shots, and I go, then maybe it's the other people. Would you please watch the eye in the sky cameras? What happened was, I guess I might as well tell the story. I was playing with a Lon Bronson band, and I was singing a song called Clothes of the Dead, which is a song I wrote about buying your clothes at the Salvation Army and how you're just wearing clothes of the dead. And at the end of every verse, I would say the name of some dead person. I would say, do I look like Frank Zappa in the Clothes of the Dead? You know, do I look like Jimi Hendrix in the Clothes of the Dead? And then I said, I think, do I look like Versace in the Clothes of the Dead? And there was a table of gay men who took this as an anti-gay remark, which is astonishing because I'd done Frank Zappa and Jimi Hendrix. It was clearly a dig against gay, against dead people. Right? It was against dead people and not gay people.
Because they so rarely complain.
Exactly. You know, and so afterwards, I saw them get up. They got up and they rather flamboyantly left. They just put their drinks in the air and stormed out, making a big deal. So after the show, I saw them over there with a woman and about five gay guys. And I mean, obviously gay guys. And I walked over to them and said, listen, man, I know that can cause some stuff and made you upset. And that's one of the things comedy does. It's very hard to do comedy without upsetting somebody sometime. I mean, I knew Frank Zappa. He's a hero of mine. And when I sing that, do I look like Frank Zappa and kind of giggle about that in the Clothes of the Dead? I said, there is a kind of sadness that comes with the comedy. It's really complicated. And as I finished saying that, he punched me.
And that's a lot of sadness.
My crew was there. You know, and I had some tough crew guys. We had Stuart Wagner, who's a tattooed hippie redneck biker. You know, he was our light man. About 6'4", big droopy mustache, covered with tats, and tats that show when wearing regular clothes. So he was completely outlaw. He was not going to live a normal life. You know, he could button up a shirt and put a tie on. He had tattoos that said redneck in Chinese on his neck, okay? And he tried to go at the guy who hit me. And the guy was a small guy. It didn't hurt, you know. But all I did was I said, nobody touch him. Get away from him. Because I knew that we're not going to be beating up gay guys in a casino. And so all my crew backed away. And then I looked for an eye in the sky and centered myself under the camera, knowing they're running videotape, and put my hands behind my back. And I thought that would be a universal symbol for we're not going to fight. To these gentlemen, it was a universal symbol for now it's a really safe time to hit them. So I stood there with my hands behind my back, and they hit me. Not hard. I mean, it wasn't a big deal. Hit me once in the face, but mostly in the chest. They were short. And it wasn't bad at all. I mean, it didn't even knock me down. And it wasn't really committed to hurting me. It was just kind of like they were very, very drunk, and they were full of rage, you know. And they didn't even understand my explanation. And I was moving away from them, but I didn't want to get away from the camera. So they finally left, and I went, oh, man. And then Stuart was carrying on, you know, we should have killed them, boss. What's going on? I went, no, man, it's cool. They were just upset. And I wasn't hurt badly. It's no big deal. I wasn't hurt at all, really. You know, one little black and blue or something. And I start walking out, you know, a while later. And I stopped to get, like, a fish sandwich or something. And and as I'm walking out, two of the security guards at the hotel come over, grab me, cuff me, and say that I was beating up gay guys in the hotel. And I said, no, they were beating me up. And they look at me because I'm, you know, 6'6 and knocking them three bills. And this huge guy is saying, and they'd seen the other guys who were little, and they said, oh, no, they registered a complaint that you were hitting all the gay people in the hotel. I said, well, I don't even know all the gay people in the hotel. And then I said to them, but listen, weren't those people drunk off their asses? And they said, yes, they were very drunk. And I said, and I'm stone cold sober. And they said, yes. And I said, why me? And they said, well, you know, you're so much bigger than they are. I said, okay, but please look at the eye in the sky. And they said, no one tells us what to do. I said, okay. So I sat back there cuffed with my good friend, Dr. Gary Stockdale, who does all the music for the Penn and Teller shows. And I'm there cuffed. I was there for like an hour and a half. And, of course, the next day, Steve Sciarippa from The Sopranos, who used to be in charge of entertainment at The Riv, called me up and said that he was terribly sorry and that those guys would be fired. And I said, no, don't do that. They were fine. They just did their job. They were very polite. They put the handcuffs on, you know, softly, and they did all that. But you should tell them that when they get a complaint, don't automatically assume the big guy is at fault. So that was when that happened that I was – and my question then was – I am such an anti-drinker that I would just assume that anybody drunk was guilty. And that's wrong, too. Cops can't do that. Cops have to be held to a higher standard. I went to a SWAT thing, you know, SWAT team.
The meet?
Yeah,
swap.
Swap meet.
What did the swap meet?
The FBI SWAT team,
yes.
You know?
Oh, I
SWAT.
Okay.
And they showed me, you know, special weapons and tactics.
Yes.
And see, self-contained underwater breathing apparatus.
Was that the day you were having the Alestra chips?
Yes, it was. It was.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
You don't want to fire fully automatic weapons when there may be leakage involved. And I said to the guys, and this is the hard part about being a cop, I said to the SWAT guys, I could certainly go in to one of the places you go into holding the guns and all that equipment. The thing I could not do is I could not shoot everybody. That's the hard part. The bad guys can shoot anybody. The good guys have to shoot the right people. So that's what I'm saying. Cops have a tough job. I think we should be able to lie to them, but they have a really tough job. And we'll be back. I don't even know. You know, a lot of people have been coming up after the Penn and Teller show, like a lot of people every night, and say to us on the radio show. So I'm starting to put faces to who I'm talking to. You know, I like the people we're talking to.
Really?
You know? I really do like them. I like them a lot. We'll be back tomorrow talking about more stuff. Talk about Boy Scouts a lot tomorrow if you watch the Bulls Hit show tonight.
Check out Penn Jillette weekdays from 2 to 3 on Free FM.